gentlemen, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. And I just want to give you guys a quick reminder right now that if you want to go and check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And let me just start this out by saying that what you are about to enter in this episode in particular of the Animation Podcast, this isn't going to be any ordinary episode. I'm not going to be looking into what happened this week in terms of the animation news. Oh, no. We have reached the end of the year, the end of 2016 to be precise. And so what I decided to do as something a little bit more special is that we are going to be looking back throughout the entire year. Now, I do understand that technically with 2016, it's not necessarily the year that people really want to remember the most. I mean, there have been a lot of tragedies that do occur, a lot of celebrities and well-known figures that unfortunately passed away. I mean, like, they've been dropping like flies. And also, call me crazy, but I think I'm starting to actually understand Zuko from the last Airbender movie when he said, "We must wait until everyone is fighting against everyone." Because basically, that's what people have been doing on the internet. I mean, like, it's just an all-out war zone right now. Rather it be for something like small, like the Ghostbusters reboot, or it could be a massively big deal like the US elections, in which somehow the one that's supposed to die this year ended up becoming president. And it's only gonna be until a little bit later until America is gonna really regret that decision. Trust me on that. But in terms of the news with animation, it's not necessarily as dramatic. There isn't any massive tragedies that occurred, but there are some events that really did leave a massive impact. And there will be some reasons why people will look back in 2016 in terms of the animation field. Now, of course, there are the animated films itself. Like, of course, people are going to look back and think about movies like Zootopia or Finding Dory or The Secret Life of Pets or Kubo and the Two Strings and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the news, I decided to go and pick out the five biggest news stories that people will take from this year. And so, I decided to go and do all my research, look back at all the previous stories that we have done, and I compiled, probably like I said before, a list of five of the most impactful stories that occurred in the animation industry. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the top five animation news of 2016, and we shall begin right now with number five. And I'm just gonna go and start this off right now by saying that unfortunately with number five, we're not starting with a news story that's related to animation. Yeah, I know, it really does contradict with what I'm saying, but you'll see, it actually does have a bit of a connection. Now, this is not about animated features or anything really with animation directly, but it does have a bit of a link. And I am talking, of course, with number five, it's going to be more announcements of Disney's live-action reboots. Throughout the whole time, we have been getting a giant list of animated films in which Disney has previously done in their classic lineup from Walt Disney Animation Studios, and they decided they want to go and make more reboots out of them, or live-action reboots per se, because so far, they have been seeing huge successes with movies such as Alice in Wonderland, Maleficent, Cinderella, and recently, probably the biggest example or their most successful film so far in terms of the Disney live action reboots, The Jungle Book. And now the hype is getting real with the upcoming live action reboot of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. But now, when we look into the list of the movies that they have announced, Now, I'm just going to go and start things off with the ones that Disney themselves have actually confirmed. Now, they did throw in so many of them that, like, oh, maybe they're considering this, they're considering that. But let me just start off with the ones that they have confirmed, and then I'll just list you the few of them that they are considering, but there's no confirmation yet if it's actually going to happen or if it's actually going to be in development at Disney. So first things first, Disney has announced that they are doing a live-action reboot of Mulan, which is going to be scheduled for November 2nd, 2018, and they are currently searching for a Chinese actress to play the main part. And then afterwards, oddly enough, they have announced a live-action reboot of The Lion King. So far, the only thing we know about it is that Disney is putting it as one of their top priorities in order to go make it. And they actually brought in Jon Favreau, fresh off of The Jungle Book, to go and direct the feature. And then right afterwards, they are going to be making one in the similar veins of Maleficent. With this one, they are actually doing Cruella de Vil. And what we know so far with it is that Emma Stone is going to be playing the character, while Alex Timbers will be the director, or he could be, or at least he's in talks about it. And Disney wants to plan out the production to actually begin early on next year. And afterwards, they also confirmed that there will be a Tim Burton Dumbo movie and also a Tinkerbell feature film starring Reese Witherspoon. And also they wanted to do some sequels, including Maleficent 2 and The Jungle Book 2, which actually would be kind of funny if they would actually go and do a live-action reboot of the direct-to-DVD sequel. No, but anyways, I'm going a little too ahead of myself. Now, there are some other movies as well that it's not announced by Disney, but it is in consideration, like other news websites like Variety, Deadline, The Hollywood Reporter, they have already mentioned stuff like this. So the ones that have been announced this year actually includes Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Peter Pan, but with David Lowery as the director. There is The Little Mermaid, in which the songs will be remixed and like have a brand new version done by Alan Menken and Lin-Manuel Miranda, and also Aladdin. And now the reason why I actually put it on this list, now the reason why I put it at number 5 is because, like, Disney really bombarded, like, the whole news throughout 2016 with all the announcements that they have done that they're going to do a live-action reboot of this, they're going to do a live-action reboot of that. Like, they're doing so many of these things. But as we have seen in recent years with movies like Maleficent and The Jungle Book, and also Cinderella as well, they are huge successes. Like, they make a ton of money for Disney. They are equally as successful as many of the superhero films or many of the successful animated films. So this really is a massive cash grabber for Disney. So of course they would get really excited and they want to go and plan out so many of these films, like just rebooting their animated classics and just turning them into live action feature films. Now, of course, like the main purpose would be for money. But now I know that a lot of people are mad every time like these bits of news would be announced, and even me, I got irritated, like, after, like, what, the fourth or fifth time that they would announce whatever live-action reboot that they want to go and make. But there actually is a bit of hope. Now, that doesn't mean, like, even though the main purpose is to go and make a quick buck for Disney, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're gonna suck. And this year actually did prove it. What I'm talking, of course, is going to be with the 2016 Jungle Book reboot. Like, not only was that, like, really successful, like, extremely close to earning $1 billion at the box office, but at the same time, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that movie could almost be on par with the original 1967 film. Like, honestly, it was really good, and I really enjoyed it for what it is. It really does pay respect to the original. There's a lot of great homages to it. And, you know, it definitely does share the same spirit. And, of course, like, I cannot deny, my God, the casting is phenomenal here. Rather it be with Bill Murray as Baloo, Christopher Walken as King Louie, Ben Kingsley as Bagheera, or Idris Elba as Shere Khan. Like, they're definitely fantastic. And those movies, that movie really does hit its mark. And I would say, no questions asked, it definitely was, so far, the best live-action reboot that Disney has done based on their animated classics. So there could actually be a chance that maybe these movies as well could actually turn out to be good. Like, I actually do have some good hopes for The Lion King. I mean, Jon Favreau did a great job with The Jungle Book. Maybe he'll do a great job with The Lion King as well. Like, you know, I'm going to keep myself open. And I know that a lot of these ideas are kind of weird as well. Like, Tim Burton's Dumbo being the one that really does stand out. And there are some ones that, of course, I am definitely not excited for. Like, we do not need a freaking sequel to Maleficent 2. But the one thing that I do want to remind you guys is that even though we did get an abundance of announcements about it, that doesn't mean that every single one is going to be made. There will be a time that, like, who knows? Like, maybe in the future, it's just going to be a trend and it's not going to be as effective. Like, maybe, who knows? Like, after a few films, like, Disney would actually be losing money on it and they'll just suddenly stop. Who knows? So far, like, with what they have done, like, maybe they won't stop it, maybe they will. I honestly don't know. Like, so far, the anticipation right now is going very, very high with Beauty and the Beast, which features Emma Watson and a whole different weird cast that I don't know what the fridge were they thinking of bringing some of these people. But the thing is, like, who knows what could happen? Maybe it could turn out to be such a massive hit, or maybe it would not. Like, it all depends. We don't know how the future could go with these movies, and maybe a lot of people would be turned off. So maybe we won't actually see the light of day of a live-action reboot of movies like The Little Mermaid, or Aladdin, or Snow White, or even some of the ones that Disney has announced. Just because they say they're making it doesn't mean that it's legitimately going to happen. Who knows if somewhere in the production things are going to be screwed up and it'll suddenly not happen. Like, maybe we won't actually get something like a Maleficent 2 or a Jungle Book 2 or even Reese Witherspoon's Tinkerbell or even that Cruella de Vil movie. Who knows what could happen? But so far, Disney has done all these announcements, and yeah, it could be a bit overbearing at first, but who knows what the future holds? Maybe Disney is going to do a lot of them. Maybe they could turn out great. Maybe they can turn out bad. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what holds in the future. But for number 5, hands down, it's going to be the crazy announcements of the Disney live-action reboots. It's something that, in terms of movie news, we cannot ignore. Okay, so coming in at number 4, it's going to be about an animation studio that's really not doing well. I mean, in recent years, it has not gathered a good reputation per se, both inside the film industry and the animation industry. So 2016 was the time that they decided to go and take a little break and try to reform the studio to become something that's more grand, that's something bigger. And so far, what they have done, it's probably one of the biggest risks I have ever seen to reform an entire animation studio. And will it work? Will it fail? Who knows? But we know that in the future, at number 4, we are getting an all-new Sony Pictures Animation. Now, like I said before, throughout 2016, we did not get a single feature film from Sony Pictures Animation. We did get animated films released by Sony Pictures, like the Angry Birds movie and also Sausage Party, but they're not under the Sony Pictures Animation label. That is because that the president, Christine Belson, decided she wants to go and take a break to try to retweak everything that's going on in Sony Pictures Animation to make it bigger, to make it better. And now she actually revealed that she has a full-on plan on what they want to do with the studio to bring Sony Pictures Animation, well, to not really bring it back. Well, what I mean is, like, to put Sony Pictures Animation on top, to make it an animation studio that people could actually take seriously, as much as the other ones that are pretty big right now, like Disney, Pixar, DreamWorks, Illumination, and all those people. So her plan, in short, is to pretty much form Sony Pictures Animation as the next DreamWorks Animation. The format that she wants to build is pretty much just like how DreamWorks Animation was back in the 2000s decade, where beforehand with Sony Animation, they used to release about one animated film a year. Sometimes it can be two, or not necessarily two. Sometimes they could just release like once every year or once every 2 years. Like, they don't necessarily release a lot. Like, the library at Sony Pictures Animation is not necessarily big per se. But she wants to change that, and she wants to go and have a Sony Pictures Animation movie be released twice or even three times a year. Now, we've already gotten the schedule, and so far there's like 10 animated films that they want to release between 2017 and 2020. So it's actually pretty crazy. And they have already announced the list that they have gotten. Now, if we do not count the the direct-to-DVD sequels like Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania, or whatever direct-to-DVD sequel that they want to do of Open Season, they actually do have a pretty big list. Some of them includes some of their older properties, and some of them has some new properties as well. The list includes, in 2017, we are going to have the reboot of Smurfs, which is Smurfs the Lost Village, the Emoji Movie, and also The Star, which is going to be an animated film, which is going to be in the animal's perspective during the nativity scene. And then afterwards, in 2018, we're only going to have two of them, which includes Hotel Transylvania 3 and also the animated Spider-Man movie. We don't have any info about it just yet, but so far, it's pretty much the most anticipated film that Sony Animation has in their lineup. So far, 2019 comes in. We don't know what's going to happen, but there are rumors that are spreading that apparently there would be an animated Ghostbusters movie they would like to make with Ivan Reitman in the works on it. Like, he's talking about what's going to happen in there, so who knows what could happen. And then in 2020, there are a few more, but the one that we do know that is going to happen is an original animated feature called Vivo. And we know that Lin-Manuel Miranda actually has some songs written for it back when the project was originally going to be made at DreamWorks Animation. So that's actually another one that I'm actually pretty intrigued to know what it's going to be. But animated films are not going to be the only things that Sony Animation is going to deliver. At the same time, they also want to expand from feature films and also go and do some television work. In the fall of 2017, they have announced that they want to go and release several TV shows that are based on their movies, one of which being Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs for Cartoon Network, and also a Hotel Transylvania series, which is kind of more of a spin-off since it's more about Mavis and her friends, which they'd never appeared from the movies before, which would come out on the Disney Channel. While at the same time, early in 2018, speaking of Ghostbusters, they actually want to release a TV show of Ghostbusters that would actually connect to the 2016 reboot. So pretty much Sony has this entire plan, which would not only include all of their properties that they had before, but also with some of their new ones. But the one thing that really did make the biggest news, like when it comes to Sony Pictures Animation and animation news that happened throughout 2016, there has been no other project that made such a huge impact that pretty much everybody has been talking about it. Like, it is hands down the Emoji Movie. My God, have people been talking about it. However, not in the way that Sony Animation wants. In fact, it's probably a nightmare for them when it comes to the Emoji Movie. I kid you not, never have I seen an animated film received so much backlash, not since the trailer would be released or not since the project was announced, but ever since Sony Animation would first grab their hands on it. Ever since then, like, I feel like the more announcement that Sony Animation would make about it, the more that they would reveal about what the emoji is about, the more that it received massive backlash. People have been hating it more and more and more and more. And not too long ago, since I actually recorded this little podcast right here, they did release the teaser trailer to the Emoji Movie. And so far, the reception that it's been getting, like, everybody hates it. My God, it's pretty much preparing itself to become what Norm of the North is in 2016. The Emoji Movie is going to be for 2017. Like, people are pretty much bracing themselves to pretty much hate this movie. There could be a small chance that it actually could be good, but knowing Sony Animation's reputation, yeah, it's gonna suck. And who knows, this might actually turn out to be their worst animated feature. And that really is saying a lot, trust me on that. And so, going back into the whole aspect of Sony Pictures Animation, honestly, like I said before, this is pretty much the biggest risk that Sony Pictures Animation is pretty much making. Like, I get what they're trying to do. You know, they want to go and build themselves up like DreamWorks Animation, because the way that they build it, it's kind of like, the more movies that you release, the more profit that you can immediately get. And, like, you can quickly rise up to the top a lot faster. That's how DreamWorks Animation at one point earned the reputation of being Disney's toughest competitors when it comes to the animation field. But what they seem to have forgotten is that this is a process, this is like a strategy that is so risky that if even just one animated film would become a flop, then everything just crumbles over. Like, it could actually lead to some disastrous results. And once again, like, actually in this decade, DreamWorks Animation proved some great examples with it. Like when Rise of the Guardians became a flop, when Turbo became a flop, and especially in 2014, when Mr. Peabody and Sherman and Penguins of Madagascar became a flop. And honestly, looking into the films that they have, yeah, I'll be honest, there are some that are going to be a flop. Now, the one that I feel like that's going to get the most profits, at least in 2017, is going to be Smurfs Lost Village. That I can imagine, it could get, like, it's not going to be, like, the biggest hit of 2017, but I could see it gain some profit. Like, I can imagine it might end up with the same box office numbers as something like the Angry Birds movie, per se. Nothing too special, nothing too groundbreaking, but, you know, Sony might find a bit of a hit with it. But honestly, with the reputation that the Emoji Movie has, like, that is going to be a massive box office bomb, no doubt about that. And also the star, like, I can imagine it being a great movie, because interestingly enough, this is actually going to be a movie in which Sony will be collaborating with the Jim Henson Company in order to make. But the one thing that is making me doubt about it is that when I look at the star, not only is it a Christmas movie, but it is also a Christian Christmas movie that takes a look into the story of baby Jesus, per se. And the reason why it's bringing me concern is that normally Christian movies, and when you mix in holiday movies, they don't make a lot of money at the box office. Like, honestly, my biggest concern with this whole strategy is how much money are they throwing into each movie? I mean, if they're doing exactly like DreamWorks and they're putting in so much onto the budget, both in terms of the production and also in the marketing, yeah, this could potentially, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this strategy would kill off Sony Pictures Animation. Like, and honestly, it's not just with the feature films as well, but also the TV shows. Like, from what I'm hearing with the reception that people are getting with what they see so far with the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs series and the Hotel Transylvania series, not too many people are going to be excited, and there could be a good chance that it's not even going to survive after either one or two seasons. Like, that's it. It's just going to come and go, and people are just going to forget about it. So, honestly, this could potential, like, honestly, this whole strategy, especially with the Emoji Movie, this could pretend, like, we could be seeing the end of Sony Pictures Animation. However, like I said, if they succeed, then they will succeed greatly. But if they fail, then honestly, it's really not going to look, it's really not going to go well for Sony. So who knows? We'll just have to wait and see how things go for the studio. All right, so coming in at number 3 on our list, we are going to be jumping from one animation studio to another. But instead of looking into one of the smaller animation studios like Sony Pictures Animation and just looking at their plans, and we're not 100% sure if they really have changed their ways or not, we are going to be looking at a much more prolific animation studio, someone that actually got a much bigger reputation than most other animation studios in the modern era. And I'm talking, of course, about DreamWorks Animation. And so with our number 3 story, we actually got Comcast buying DreamWorks Animation. Now, as you guys know, DreamWorks Animation really is not doing well. More and more of their feature films are sadly flopping, and it forced them to not only downsize their entire company, like laying off hundreds of employees, cutting off like buildings and divisions and stuff like that, but also they have to cut down the number of animated films that they release. They're no longer releasing 2 to 3 animated films a year. At the most, they can only do 1 or 2 animated films annually. And if they do 2 animated films in 1 year, one of them has to be a sequel. Like, it's just, it has to be, or else, like, they're just going to release 1 animated film a year, just like what they did in 2015 when they only released Home. Now, with that said, throughout 2015, they were constantly looking for someone to purchase DreamWorks Animation in its entirety. They looked into SoftBank, and they said no. They looked into Hasbro, and they almost said yes, but Disney came in with a gun saying, "Oh, hell no, you don't!" So, they pretty much got cut off. But then came Comcast. And they decided to say, why not, and they immediately went and purchased DreamWorks Animation for $3.8 billion. That means that now DreamWorks Animation is going to be under the umbrella of NBC Universal, and the future movies that DreamWorks is going to release will be under the Universal banner, just like with the Illumination films. Now, what pretty much happened throughout 2016 is pretty much changing the face of DreamWorks Animation. We don't see it directly with their features, but we are seeing some massive changes, especially with the business. And the biggest thing, like, what they basically have done is that they have taken many of the people at DreamWorks Animation and many of the people that are already at Universal, and they decided to group them together to form this brand new DreamWorks Animation. And on top of that, probably the saddest thing that came with it was the departure of Jeffrey Katzenberg as CEO of DreamWorks Animation. He decided to leave his company off there and to go and become the chairman of DreamWorks New Media, which pretty much looks into the internet stuff, kind of like the YouTube videos and more of that type of media, like with Awesomeness TV and Nova. But with that said, looking into DreamWorks Animation, the big boss so far, we're not 100% sure with it, but it could be possible that Chris Meledandri is going to be looking over DreamWorks Animation, just like what he's doing right now with Illumination. I'm not 100% confirmed on that. If you guys actually have more knowledge than me on this, then feel free to correct me on that situation. So with that said, thank you very much. With all that said, so of course, there's like a new entire staff that's going on at DreamWorks Animation. But at the same time, what's being affected in terms of the movies themselves, we are actually seeing a lot of changes. Now, the format of 1 to 2 animated films annually is still staying. There's nothing that really changed there, but it's actually more the factor of what movies are going to be made. We do have some bad news as well, like the sequel to The Croods ultimately got canceled, and How to Train Your Dragon 3 would eventually be delayed until 2019. But there are some other movies that have been announced as well, some original ones and some surprising comebacks. Some of these include Everest, which looks into a bunch of kids who found this little baby Yeti, and they gotta go and bring them back to Mount Everest. And then there is Shadows, which the one interesting factor about it is that it will be directed by Edgar Wright. And finally, probably the biggest one that caught everybody's attention is that it will be written, there will be a Shrek 5. Yes, after Shrek Forever After, they decided why not, they are going to bring back Shrek. Now, with all that said, honestly, I put this a little bit higher because, I put this higher than Sony Pictures Animation because, like, honestly, there is a big difference between what could happen with Sony Pictures Animation and what could happen with DreamWorks Animation. It's not just that DreamWorks Animation is a far superior studio than Sony, but it's also that with Sony Pictures Animation, it's kind of like the Trump administration in a way. You're not 100% sure of what's going to happen in the future, but you do have a strong feeling that it's going to end up as this big disaster. But with DreamWorks Animation, now that they got this new staff, they got this new schedule, like, this is pretty much a brand new DreamWorks Animation, there is no confirmation of what's going to happen. Like, honestly, I am absolutely unsure about what could be DreamWorks Animation's future. That now that they are under Universal, will this be a great thing for DreamWorks? Will this be the great comeback? And, like, maybe Universal is going to give them the same treatment as much as they did with Illumination so far? Or will this end up killing off DreamWorks Animation? And, Universal is only going to be using their properties just for, like, the theme parks and merchandising and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm thinking about, like, the best case scenario and the worst case scenario with this situation. Like, either or could potentially happen. But the biggest reason why this came onto the list, why it's at number 3 on the list, is mostly because I remember there was an article that Amit Admiti wrote on Cartoon Brew, and he said it best, that the DreamWorks Animation of 2016, the DreamWorks Animation of 2017 will be extremely different than the DreamWorks Animation of 2016. So what we are about to witness will be a brand new DreamWorks Animation, one that is going to be under the supervision of Universal. And technically, it's not going to be affecting immediately. It's not going to be like, okay, now 2017 happens, now all their movies is going to be from Universal, and now it's going to be under their way. That will take some time. I mean, like, the full effect of DreamWorks Animation with, having their animated films be under Universal, like, that's going to take some time. It won't be until 2019 when we're pretty much going to see the real effects of what would happen, of what's going to happen if Universal is under, or if Universal has DreamWorks Animation. Like, we're only going to fully determine what's going to happen there. But for now, what we see here, it's going to be very interesting. And honestly, I can only wish the best for DreamWorks Animation. Hopefully this could actually be a good idea that they got purchased by Universal. At least they're not going to die sooner. Like, worst case scenario is that they're going to die later. But who knows what could happen? Maybe it's a great thing, maybe it's not, but my God, it really made so much noise when Comcast decided to go and purchase DreamWorks. Now, coming in at number 2 on the list, this was meant to be an animated film that was supposed to be celebrated by the animation community. Finally, we now have a mainstream animated feature, something that was released worldwide, having very familiar names like Seth Rogen, Bill Hader, Jonah Hill, Kristen Wiig, and all those people coming together to create an animated film that would literally shove and push into the minds of audiences with their own dicks that an animated film is not just meant for families and just for kids. It can also be enjoyed by adults as well, and it can be super violent and super sexual at the same time, especially with the orgy scene at the end. However, there is one little event that during the opening weekend that really caused it a lot of trouble. And instead of celebrating the movie itself, people were pretty much asking which one had it a lot worse. Is it the food that were pretty much like mutilated, destroyed, killed, eaten, and all that kind of stuff? Or the artist that had to animate that? And that brings me to the number two on the list, which is the Sausage Party controversy. Now, this actually all began with a simple little cartoon brew article. Now, Amit Amiti did not say anything crazy. He did not sound the red alert or anything like that. He just posted an article that is just an interview with the directors of the film, with Conrad Vernon and Greg Tiernan. Now, things were going well, and, you know, they were pretty much, boosting their own egos, telling themselves how much of a great job that they did, that it was really hard work, but they're so glad that they managed to pull it off, especially with a really low budget for this film. I mean, this is less than $20 million, which is practically unheard of for an animated feature of this caliber. However, it is not in the article itself that the controversy began. It is actually, believe it or not, in the comments section. Now, normally, as someone who does work on the internet, specifically on YouTube, the comments section is often regarded as a place that is just filled with scum and stupidity. Like, you wouldn't want to touch the comments section with the 10-foot pole. However, something interesting in the comments section actually did occur. Now, there are some animators who came out anonymously, actually pulled the curtains, and sadly revealed what actually goes behind the scenes in terms of working as an animator. Pretty much the dark side of having a career in animation, per se. Now, apparently it was revealed that when they were working on this movie, it was a total nightmare, to the point that they don't have free time on their own. They always, always, always have to work overtime. And it was down to the point that it was mandatory that they have to work after hours and even during the weekends. And it was down to the point they can't really complain about it, because they actually singled out Greg Tiernan as, like, pretty much portraying him as this massive tyrant. Like, if ever they want something, like, if they want to improve on the working conditions, like, he's going to rant up a storm and, like, even threaten the people to be blacklisted to never work on the industry again and all that kind of stuff, you know? Pretty much seen as this monster, in a way, with how these anonymous animators were portraying him. And on top of that, while they were pretty much forced to work overtime, it's not just that. They had to work overtime for free. That is actually one of the strategies of how they managed to keep a low budget, is that when they had to work overtime, it's from their own time. They can, like, they're not paid extra. Like, they're only paid during the work hours that they have and only during that time. Any additional work that they've done, it's all done for free. And, like, you know, it's actually pretty bad that, like, keep in mind, they had to be, like, they had no choice but to work overtime. They were forced to, and they were not paid during that moment. But to make matters worse, like, on top of that, it was apparently also revealed that not everybody was actually credited for the work that they've done in Sausage Party. Like, not everybody's name is in the credits. I actually have my source here on Variety. It stated, still, those commenting online suggested that many who left production early did not receive credit. While IMDb lists 83 people under animation, only 47 of those got screen credit, according to one comment on Cartoon Brew. So, overall, it really did leave this massive controversy. So, not only the studio that made the animation of Sausage Party, Nitrogen Studios, really got in trouble, but it really opened the door to not just the working conditions of what actually went on behind the scenes of Sausage Party, but also just the entire working conditions of working in the animation field in Vancouver. Because it actually, like, this problem actually started out as a seed, and it just grew bigger and bigger and bigger, revealing so much of the dark moments in working on animation. Because the thing is that this, like, what happened during Sausage Party is sadly kind of a common thing that occurs in Vancouver. And the biggest reason is because the animators do not have a union. Normally, like, when you work in the U.S. and stuff like that, you do actually have a union that you can work on, you can work for, that no matter what happens, no matter where you work, you will be safe, which is the Animation Guild. But sadly, in Canada, they don't have any of that. It's always contract work, where you always have to, like, you sign a contract, you work on a specific movie, and then afterwards, you're let go. You're only paid for that one job, thus revealing the true life of an animator, which is hopping from studio to studio and hopping from different places. Like, I'm sure that the people who worked on Sausage Party and stuff like that, they're not all Vancouver animators. Like, some of them would come from the U.S., some would come from different countries and all that kind of stuff, you know? Because of this contract work, they have to hop from place to place and they can't really do much. And to make matters worse, the reason why there isn't any animator that stood up to go fight against this is because they're too scared. If there's one thing that the animation industry hates the most, is actually a snitch, a tattletale. They don't like any of those. If there's one person who came out with a name and stuff like that, and actually decided to pull the curtains to show what actually goes on behind the scenes when it comes to making your favorite animated TV shows or your favorite animated movies and stuff like that, yeah, your career is basically over. They never want to work for you again, because if you pretty much pull the curtains to reveal the truth about one studio, they don't want to hire you, because, like, other people are just too scared that you might do the same thing for them. So that's why, when you would hear about the reports about, what's going on with Sausage Party or what would normally happen behind the scenes, like, all of them, basically, they have to keep their name anonymous because they don't want their name to be fully revealed, showing what's actually going on behind the scenes. And honestly, that is the big reason why I put it so high up on the list, is because this was a real eye-opener on the real life of an animator, what he has to go through. Sadly, this little thing that happened with Sausage Party is actually quite common, sadly, and especially in Vancouver, where these shady practices of working overtime for free is something that is very common that would happen. And many animators don't speak out about it because they're afraid to pretty much it's not just losing their jobs, it's legit losing their careers. Now, the one thing that I do hope that would pretty much come out of all this is that now that we know the truth of what is going on behind the scenes, or at least some of the truth, that we know what's going on in Vancouver in terms of the animation industry, hopefully there can be some good out of it. Like, the biggest thing that I am hoping for is that there would actually be a Canadian animation union that would be created, something in which the animators can use in Canada to make sure they can have a stable career, you know? Like if you want to work in animation and you want to work in Vancouver, you got to make sure it's actually a job that you can pay the rent, you can pay the bills. Because sadly, when you work as an animator, it doesn't matter, like, what project you work on. You could even be working on one of the biggest animated films of the year, and even at that, like, you would still be unable to have a living wage, you know, something that you can actually pay the rent, buy food, and all that kind of stuff. So that's one of the big things that I am hoping for. And with this entire Sausage Party controversy, it really did open the door to the working conditions of an animator, not just in Canada, but also in some places around the world. So maybe this contract style job, like, it maybe in the future it could be obsolete for the better, you know, for the best for animators, and hopefully they'll have better working conditions. So honestly, who knows what could happen? Maybe it'll remain the same. Maybe, like, these stories of Sausage Party will still be remain hidden, and they won't reveal a lot. So who knows what could occur? But honestly, it's still, like, one of the biggest stories of the year, considering that it says a lot about the life of an animator. And sometimes it's not as glamorous as what they're animating. All right, guys, now this is it. The number one biggest animation news of 2016. And some of you might be wondering, what is it that I picked? Now, this was not an easy decision, and it took me a while to think about it. Now, the reason why, or, like, the biggest qualification for me, for what could count as the biggest animation story of the year, has to be something in which animation fans and the animation community can look back at that year, and that will be the biggest thing that they will remember. What is it that this year contributed that made a huge impact in the field of animation? And honestly, I think I got it. There's actually one thing, like, or a series of events that occurred that really made animation big. In fact, it made animation as a film medium bigger than it ever was before. And what I'm talking, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the number one biggest animation news story of 2016 is something I would like to call the Box Office Record Extravaganza. Now, what I am talking, of course, is that at the box office, there have been many different records that have been broken, and a lot of historical moments, like first-time evers, that actually did occur. Now, let me start this off with Zootopia. Now, Zootopia actually did start off with a small record, like, kind of really specific, nothing too big, but still worth mentioning. When Zootopia began, it actually got the biggest opening ever for an animated feature film released in March, when it actually got $75 million, beating out Illumination's The Lorax from 2012. Okay, so that's nice. That's a good small one. So, okay, you're off to a good start. But the big life-changing, record-breaking movie in terms of animated films has to hands down be Finding Dory. Oh my god, where do I begin with this? Well, I guess I'll start right at the very beginning, because Finding Dory broke every single record for the biggest opening ever for an animated feature film. All of them. It actually started out on Thursday. It actually got the biggest Thursday preview, where it actually beat Minions by a whole bunch with $9.2 million. I mean, keep in mind, this is just the Thursday preview, where it only gets, like, a few screenings. So getting almost $10 million on it is actually quite spectacular. And then when Friday came along, like the first, like, initial release day of Finding Dory, it actually got the biggest single day record for an animated feature film, where it actually beat out Shrek the Third by earning a total of $55 million in one day. I mean, there are plenty of animated films that cannot get that during an entire weekend. So that's pretty spectacular. And then suddenly, it actually beat Shrek the Third again in order to get the biggest opening weekend ever for an animated feature film by getting a grand total of $135 million. That is spectacular. And once again, like, you cannot even find, like, there really isn't a lot of animated films that actually got, well, actually, no, there actually is a lot of animated films that couldn't even manage to get a total of $135 million at the domestic box office, like, in grand total. Yet here is Finding Dory that managed to get that all in one weekend. But then, as it kept on going, it actually earned more and more and more money, down to the point that it even beat Shrek 2 to become the highest grossing animated film at the domestic box office ever, hands down. Nothing else has more. And so far, it has gathered a grand total of $486 million just in North America alone. That is quite phenomenal. But then came the next animated film, and that actually helped out to make more animation records. Not as much as Finding Dory, but it really made a lot. And I'm talking, of course, about The Secret Life of Pets, one of the surprise big hits of the year, and like Finding Dory, one of the most successful animated films of that summer. It started out earning the record for the biggest opening ever, like the biggest opening weekend ever, for an original animated feature film, beating out 2015's Inside Out by getting a grand total of $104 million. For The Secret Life of Pets, that is actually quite fascinating. But then, both Pets and Finding Dory actually collaborated in a brand new record. Now, keep in mind, now, during the summer, like, it was dead. A lot of reboots and a lot of sequels came out, and a lot of people really were not interested. There were only a handful of movies during the summer that were actually major hits. And luckily, Finding Dory and The Secret Life of Pets were actually, like, a couple of those movies, believe it or not. Where they actually worked together in order to get the record of the longest consecutive weeks for an animated film, the longest consecutive weeks that the number one spot at the domestic box office was dominated by an animated feature film for a total of 5 weeks. It was an animated film taking over the number one spot. 3 weeks were covered by Finding Dory, and two of them were covered by The Secret Life of Pets until that chain was pretty much broken with Star Trek Beyond. So that was quite phenomenal. They managed to get that record done. And then there is another record. This isn't the best one, but we're going to go in the opposite route. And this is actually a record for performing the least well, like the worst. And I'm talking, of course, about The Wildlife. It really isn't much, but it actually did manage to pull off a record for the worst opening weekend ever the worst opening weekend for an animated feature film of that decade, opening with only $3.34 million during that weekend. It really is pitiful, and seriously, that movie sucked so bad. And if you guys are curious about, like, where does it rank in the worst ever? Well, in terms of the worst opening weekends ever for an animated feature film, it's actually at number 4. But then, moving down the line, there is actually one more huge record, and this is possibly the biggest record that 2016 has ever gotten. And this is why, like, this alone actually does make it number 1, like, the biggest animation news story. It's actually the collaborative work of Finding Dory and Zootopia. Because for the first time ever, we actually have two animated features that actually got over $1 billion at the box office in 1 year, with both Finding Dory and Zootopia, which technically, since they're both distributed by Disney, this also makes it the record that you got two animated films in 1 year that they both made $1 billion done from one company alone. And it's phenomenal. And keep in mind, like, there are still, like, as I'm recording this, there are still some movies in theaters that are still ranking up some money at the box office. We still have Moana that's performing exceptionally well. And then we also got Sing that is also doing quite well. It is kind of debatable if it's going to do as well as The Secret Life of Pets, but it is still doing well. So who knows? Maybe we'll see down the line that it will probably make more, like, Moana could probably rank up a lot of money at the box office, and so could Sing. So, who knows? But yeah. Now, this is pretty much why I placed all these records at number one as the biggest animation news story of 2016. Because this is going to be the one big thing that people are going to look back And they'll remember during that year that it really made history in animation. Like I said before, or maybe I said this before, that like a lot of box office analysts, they all say that animation is a real money grabber. That's one of the big things that animation actually proved this year, that financially, they make the most money at the box office, as much, arguably as much, as superhero films. And keep in mind, those things do really, really well. And this is a year in which even superhero movies did exceptionally well. Like, you got movies like Captain America Civil War, Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, Deadpool. Like, these movies made a lot of money at the box office. And so did animation. Now, of course, and like, not all animated films made a lot of money at the box office, sure. Like, sure, you do have, like, your Zootopias, your Finding Dorys, your Secret Life of Pets, your Moanas and stuff like that. But, like, you do have your flops here and there, like Ratchet and Clank. You have Kubo and the Two Strings, unfortunately. You got your Norm and the Norfs. You got Ice Age Collision Course and all that kind of stuff. So, like, not all animated films can actually turn a massive profit. But when they can, they really can. And I mean, as I'm recording this, so far, when you check the box office records, both Zootopia and Finding Dory are like really high up there as the highest grossing movies of 2016. The only one that's beating them is just Captain America Civil War. So really, it left a massive, massive impact. So this is probably why we are going to see more animated films released in the future. This is why they're coming out in bigger numbers and stuff like that, is because they're really profitable. You know, they're leaving such a massive impact both at the box office and culturally. I mean, hands down, the biggest these are the biggest movies of the year. And honestly, that's why I picked this as the number one animation story of the year. They left a huge impact. And honestly, like, there's no other story that could top that. I mean, when you mark history during that year, that's what people will remember the most. But anyways, that is all that I've got for this year. And so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can go and find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or The Animation Podcast. You can also find me on my Twitter at AnimeF505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? And by the way, don't worry. Next week, I'll go back to the regular episodes since we are starting a new year. And by the way, if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, not watching. And until next week and until in 2017, see you later, dudes.